Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are in Colorado for their second of three against the Rockies. And we're here with Mike Grace, who loves one thing almost as much as he loves watching Padres baseball, his producer, Blooper.
Captain Puberty, his voice just cracked on us as we came back from the break there. I love listening to him laugh. It's so ridiculous.
Trademark.
Also in studio, we've got Randy Jones, who's basically here just to guarantee that Mike Grace will give it his all on the program today.
You quit on me, I'm quitting on you.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Randy Jones.
Hope everybody out there is enjoying their Saturday. It's warm today, but it's still always beautiful in San Diego. Randy Jones, I will never give up on you.
Never.
Never.
No, it's the dog days, man. We're grinding right now.
We are grinding.
That's the way baseball is.
Yesterday, kind of that literal end of the Padres' hopes. I think we've been over it for many time, for many weeks here, but yesterday it became official.
Yeah.
Postseason hopes dashed.
Gone.
For the Padres, there will be no postseason in 2015. We look forward to 2016 now. Not that we haven't been already, but yesterday made it official with the Padres' loss.
Yeah, and if we had won, Dodgers won anyway, it's a moot point.
There you go.
The magic number was one.
The magic number was one. I think it shouldn't be a magic number. We need a new term for the number when you're going to get eliminated from playoff contention. Then,
well, that's a good point.
It is a magic number when you're going to win it.
A magic number is good when you're going to win it, but a magic number to be eliminated. We could come up with something.
Blooper just informed us that it's called the tragic number.
Tragic number.
I've not heard that.
That's a thing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
For like a long time? Am I missing out here?
I've just always heard it referred to that way. Like a tragic number.
I think that's very clever.
Okay.
And that works really well. So the tragic number was reached yesterday.
Yes, it was.
But we're going to say it was because of the Dodgers' win, not because of the Padres' loss.
Whatever.
Whatever, you don't care.
Whatever flows your dress up, son. You go for it.
We've been over 2015 for a couple weeks now, at least as far as those hopes have been going. Ian Kennedy yesterday took the mound. Solid, not great. The bats, solid, not great. Probably some pretty poor situational hitting. One for 12 with runners in scoring position. I know that's your number one thing there. And yesterday was the
Rockies were 4 for 11. We were 1 for 12. That is the difference.
That's the magnification of yesterday's game.
Yeah, especially in Colorado. You know, you got to get those clutch hits.
And that's the thing. So you're in Colorado, and you're facing Chad Bettis. You know, he's got like a 4.5 ERA. You figure, okay. Should have some good success against the guy. He looked decent. Only went 5 innings. Then you get into their bullpen. Their bullpen was pretty solid. Ian was good. He had the rough one inning. One of the runs he gave up wasn't really his fault.
Right.
It should have stayed on. And they did originally gave Jed Jerko the error there. They changed it to Corey Spangenberg appropriately. So
I agree.
He did tip that ball. So that was not Jed's fault. And the only reason that matters is because Jed hasn't made an error yet playing shortstop. So good for him to kind of keep up that confidence, whether it even matters
or not.
But it's still a nice thing for him to be able to say, hey, he played error-free shortstop for however long he did it.
And in a situation like that, you know, he knows he's being backed up. The secondary cutoff man's right behind him. All he had to do is just let it go, you know, in that scenario.
And maybe that's a communication thing where Jed's got to tell Spangy, let it go. He's got it.
That's a good point.
And that's two guys that haven't worked up the middle a lot together. So, and there's a good chance they will. I mean, there's a decent chance that's your middle infield next year. And once they go through a spring training together, kind of work out those kinks, I think those are things that go by the wayside.
So you think Jed Jerko's our shortstop next year?
I don't know.
Is that what I'm hearing?
I think there's a decent chance. The only reason I say that is because you're going to have to overpay to get a major league ready shortstop. So if you're talking about overpaying on the Padres side, you're talking about Tyson Ross, Andrew Kashner, Hunter Renfro. Derek Norris.
Can't overpay for that.
I mean, if you feel good enough about Jed Jerko, I mean, we've talked about everything he is and everything he isn't as a shortstop. Solid. The range probably isn't going to be there. He knows that. But scouting, his instincts, he's played a really solid shortstop. Now, the thing with Jed you got to figure out, though, is he's had two miserable starts to two seasons after his rookie year. And even
his
rookie year, he wasn't
very good.
That was
his second base, Mike. That doesn't count. That does not count.
Well, that's a fair question. Do you think it makes any difference at all at the plate what position he's playing?
Yes.
You've talked about the toll it takes on his body. Really? Okay.
It can get in your mind. I mean, it's a coincidence. Believe me, there's no factual data. But he moves over to shortstop. He swung the bat really well at that position. And don't tell me that in the back of your mind that doesn't kind of, you know, work for you. It does, and you'll buy into it. You know, whatever little advantage you can get mentally, you take advantage
sure.
of as a player.
Yeah, no, I see
and
what
I
you're
love
saying.
That.
It's a bit of a placebo.
Yeah,
whatever you think is making it
here's
work,
a nice,
works.
Here's a nice scenario. What I really do like is you have a backup plan, at least somebody that really looks comfortable there, playing well there right now. You know, and he signed for multiple years. So, hey, worst case scenario, you know what you have at shortstop, okay? And personally, I'm not disappointed in that. You know, of course, you got to swing the bat. That's what we want, the production earlier in the year, not just the second half. But I think overall, that's a good place to start in the wintertime when you're starting to look for deals and try to make deals and improve this ball club. Not going to be easy.
No.
Going to be some very tough decisions you have to make. You got to, I don't envy a lot of the decisions they have. And not sure what's going to be available out there. And as far as the financial parts, I mean, you got a ceiling. I don't know what that ceiling is, if it's 120 or 130 million. You know, and what can you do with that? I don't know.
Yeah, Jed Jerko definitely has changed the dynamic of the off season, and it's going to be interesting to see. And I've got some stuff I want to talk about a little later with you because, you know, there's one major problem I see with this lineup. And, you know, and I don't really want to get into it right now. I kind of want to wrap up the game and then, you know, spend a segment on it. But I mean,
we got an hour.
We do have an hour, yeah. And it's going to be social. So we'll talk about that a little later. But yesterday, you know, the biggest thing – when you're playing a game like that in Colorado, you start creeping back, and then the problem with this team lately, middle relief hasn't been able to hold it. Now, the biggest problem last night wasn't necessarily the pitching, was probably the way they played the field. Zepchinski, if he gets that double play, it's a completely different ball game.
Yeah.
But once again, your middle relief can't get it late in the game and give your offense a chance to get back into the
bottom
game.
Bottom line, that's the key, the sixth, seventh innings. You know, the bullpen coming out of there has just been coughing up, you know, making too many mistakes. You know, whatever it be, a throwing error or walking a couple of guys and then making a mistake. You know, Jake Jackson, I'm starting to, you know, I hope he gets back out there a little bit. It seems like every time he throws a pitch around the strike zone, you know, somebody gets a base hit, you know, right now for the kid, you know.
I mean, is that a little coincidence, or is he just throwing a fastball down
the
plate?
Well, that's a coincidence, you know. I mean, I don't, you know, remember, a 300 hitter fails 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a live arm. He's throwing mid-90s.
Yeah, and you'd think somebody hit one at somebody, you know, right at him. That's all I'm asking for. You know, I give the kid an opportunity, but, you know, this hasn't worked out. But, you know, Zepp's been scuffling from the left side. Not the command that I anticipated the left-hander having. That's what you got to have.
Real quick on him. Curious. He works from the extreme third base side of the rubber, which is kind of odd for a left-hander, right? You take away your left-handed advantage. Why does he do that, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, wherever he's comfortable, maybe mentally, something we'd probably have to ask Zepp. Because I always work from the left side.
Right, that's where you get your advantage on the left-handed hitter, right?
Well, in my point in staying close, it gave me my advantage on the lefties and the right-handers.
Okay.
It's harder to pick up the baseball. And the longer you can hide the baseball, the more you can deceive them with their various speeds. You know, but I just see a little couple fundamental things. I think he's maybe trying a little bit too hard. The front side's flying open. You know, throwing a lot with his arm. And that's resulting in his problems with his command.
Yeah, and yesterday kind of – amplifies everything. I mean, he gets the pitch he wants, a nice easy comebacker, and he throws the ball away. And the worst part is he doesn't even get an error for it, so everything's going to be earned.
Oh.
So it all goes on Jay Jackson's record on his. Otherwise, he's basically out of that anyway,
that's,
no trouble. So,
that
I mean,
is correct.
Those are the things. And we've seen so much of that this year. When things go horribly wrong in an inning for this team, they go really wrong.
Yeah.
And that was like a microcosm of everything we've seen this season.
It's like even when there's an error made or something to prolong the inning, you know, it seems like the pitcher, whoever's out there, can't slam the door. You know, and that's one of the harder things to do. And
sure.
And I had a lot of practice of that when I pitched. And, you know, I got pretty proficient at doing damage control after an error. You know, that's really what you have to get good at times. And it's not easy.
Yeah, talking about the bullpen, we want to get to our AMR injury report. Sean Kelly yesterday through his simulated game. He came out of that game a couple weeks ago really scary. It looked like, you know, he grabbed his arm like guys do when they feel like they really hurt themselves. So through a sim game, felt like it was really good for him to – important for him to get in front of batters, live batters.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't feel great about his control, so he's probably going to throw another bullpen this weekend. Sounds like he will be ready for the series against the Giants coming on Tuesday.
Yeah, and once again, that's big. You know, the last week or 10 days of the season to get back up on the mound. You know, and just, you know, secure yourself that your arm is fine and you're feeling good going into the winter. It may not like sound like a big deal, but it really is to that pitcher.
Yeah, especially a guy going into free agency. You know, he wants to make a decent impression here at the end of his season.
He's a free agent, too.
He is.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he's either re-signing or gone. There's no draft pick compensation or anything with him. So,
right.
A real interesting year for him. I mean, kind of some big peaks and valleys, and, you know, was very good in the middle of the season. So I think he wants to finish strong for his own sake.
I would think so. And, you know, like I say, there's more decisions that have to be made by this organization. You know, what kind of arms are you going to have in spring training next year?
Yeah.
Wait and see.
All right, Sean Kelly on the positive side of the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMRSanDiego.com. To put a bow on the bullpen from yesterday, seeing some really nice things from John Edwards,
yes.
Though. He goes in, strikes out the side. You know, he kind of had a rough outing to start. Hadn't been in the big leagues for a little while since his stint with the Rangers, but kind of seeing some real nice things with him.
I thought he looked really comfortable, a lot more comfortable on the mound, you know, and then, you know, a little more confident, and I mean, that was really good to see. I mean, I just just the way his mannerisms and stuff, but it just his mechanics just really good.
Yeah, he's got that high, mid to high 90s fastball, 96, 97, snapping off the slider there at 89. Hey, I mean, then no matter what, anytime you go in and strike out the side in Colorado, that's something you can feel good about.
That's always good.
But, I mean, when you're talking about guys like this, it's really important to have these types of outings to build, like, that mental momentum for them.
Well, I mean, it's like, I don't care if you look at Weiss, you know, what Weiss and all the pitchers he's been using over there in Colorado to tryout camp. Hey, you know, right now, you guys, hey, you're competing for next spring training. Everybody's watching you, and it's an opportunity for, you know, Walt Weiss and the Rockies to see some of these arms and see what they've got and do some evaluating. And I do not doubt that the Padres are kind of doing the same thing with the guys that they called up. They want to see what they have, and, you know, and it just helps. It's a little bit easier to evaluate your talent and moving forward. You got to make some hard decisions. What do we leave him on the 40-man or not? Those decisions are ones that are kind of being made right now with some of these kids.
A lot of decisions being made in the next couple weeks.
Yes,
and,
they are.
Talk a little bit more about that next. I want to remind everybody to join in the conversation in using Twitter, using the hashtag PadresSH, or in our live chat, Padres.com/social hour. Can talk about whatever we're talking about with other Padres fans and other fans of baseball in there. Going to take a break, come back. Kind of talk about how you watched the last couple weeks of the season. Because when the team is playing like this in this situation, I think you watch baseball a little differently with an eye to the future, more so than you do, obviously, throughout the rest of the season. So I want to get your opinion on that. Montalvo Tequila, triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. Padres Social Hour coming out right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. The great left-hander Randy Jones. I'm Mike Grace. Talking about the last 2 weeks of the Padres season and when you're officially eliminated, the tone of the season, your goals, everything kind of changes. And to discuss that more, we're going to go ahead and throw you on the hot seat.
Got it.
Things are going to get heated in here. They tend to do that when we do. But for me, when you get to this point of the season, I don't even care so much about wins and losses because, unfortunately, there's positives to wins and losses. If you can stay in the bottom 10 at this point, it changes the dynamic of your offseason, keeping your first-round pick protected. Now, I know that matters nothing
to
the actual baseball team.
Don't care less.
They couldn't care less. But as a fan, I kind of do. But for me at this point, I'm way more interested in individual performances. And there's kind of like half the team that I'm very interested in and half the team I'm not that interested in. And, I mean, one of the very positive things that, and I look at it this way, who are you going to go look at the box score? If you couldn't watch the game the night before, who are you going to go see how they did? I want to go see how Will Myers did.
Okay.
I want to go see how Jed Jericho did. Like, Kemp, Upton, at this point, I know what they are. I know what Matt Kemp is. I know what Justin Upton is. I'm not
you
even that concerned.
You don't care if Kemp gets to 100 RBIs?
I do care about that.
Come on now.
But that could happen tonight.
Then, you know, you quit looking at him.
But and then you quit looking at him.
That's
a very valid point.
I mean, because it varies. You're talking about the last 2 weeks. It always varies in what, you know, what I look at. And, you know, I mean, you're talking about the Padres themselves. Okay.
The individual Padres.
Yeah. Then what I'm, you know, you got a lot of guys, in you know, the old adage we use, it's called a salary drive.
Yep.
It's got more.
Or a roster drive
for
some of
these
guys.
Well, yeah, but individualized. And then you got the guys that are all being called up, you know, or first-year guys still maybe getting a little more playing time. You know, I mean, you want to make an impression. That's what you want to do. And I like watching all the various, you know, talents. And, you know, and the one thing, too, is, you know, what I as a former player, what I'll notice is some guys going through the motions. I don't like that.
Okay.
You're going to put the uniform on, then go out and give me 100% of whatever you got that day, every day. And most of these players do, and I respect that when I watch.
I agree totally. You definitely want to see the effort out of everybody
exactly.
every day. They still have a check to earn.
I'll give you a great, you know, great, looks like the other night, Andrew Cashner won that ball game. You know, he got 15 losses. He's 5-15 at the time. But he's out there still busting his tail.
Yeah.
It's been a very subpar year for him, you know, but any little tidbits here at the end, the last few starts, you know, you kind of right the ship a little bit, you know, going into the winter, you need to do that.
He's on my list. Andrew Cashner is absolutely on my list because this is a guy with so much talent.
He's on the bubble.
Exactly.
Maybe he's going to be here next year.
Because,
honestly,
he really needs to figure out, and the team needs to figure out, is he that reliable number two, number three starter that everybody knows he can be? He could even be a number one starter now. It sounds like there's still a lot going on with his repertoire. He's playing with his slider. He's playing with a changeup. He's kind of looking for that out pitch.
Does he solve the sixth or seventh inning quandary?
Pushing him back to the bullpen.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, if you're going to be 5-15 every year as a starter, you ain't starting.
Right.
We don't need that.
His year last year, I put the record out the window because he had a very good starting pitching year last year.
I agree.
This year was very different.
Yep.
But I still want to see him make progress because he is still developing. For me, Tyson Ross is kind of there.
Right.
I don't even care what Tyson does his last few starts. Now, I'd like to see him get to 200 innings. I'd like to see him hit some of those thresholds. But he's not going to show me anything that's going to make me feel different about him.
All I want to see is, you know, just show me the consistency that I've seen the last 2 months. What I want to see from Tyson Ross.
That's what you want to see. But
that's
like,
really what,
if
know.
He goes out and has 3 bad starts, you're not going to feel any differently about him than you will.
No, not for 2016.
Exactly. Like, Tyson's kind of ready to make that
step. James Shields, Tyson Ross. I mean, those, right now, those are two of our starters.
Yes. I mean, unless something crazy happens.
You want to go any further?
As far as what?
The other three spots next year.
I will say this. This is just a very personal prediction.
Okay.
I think Ian Kennedy's in this rotation next year. I honestly do. And I have nothing to base this on. Absolutely nothing.
I know that.
But I think he gets a qualifying offer.
No.
You don't think he will?
No.
Really?
$16.5 million.
I think he'll get it because I don't think he'll take it. I think the Padres are willing to take that gamble.
He's lost 15 games this year.
You know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's pitched, you know, great, you know, here in the last couple of months. But you still got 15 losses. I don't think I'm paying somebody $1 million a loss. That's a qualifying offer, though, Mike. That's the only reason I say that.
Sure.
And I'm looking at the business side of this. Yeah, we can roll the dice, give him a qualifying offer, and he'll sign with somebody else and you get a draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, now you're asking me, is that trying to get that draft pick worth $16.5 million?
But here's the thing. It's all about weighing how likely he is to take it or not.
Okay.
Because he could not take it and you could still re-sign him.
And he could take it, and you have him.
No player has ever taken the qualifying offer.
I know.
And he's a Scott Boras client. So if it's me, for Ian Kennedy on a 1 year $16 million deal is worth the gamble to me. And like I said, I know nothing and it's not my money. It's not my payroll to manage. Shockingly, I know everybody thinks I'm clearly running this team. But no, I think it's worth the gamble. But that being said, here, just to give you my little prediction here, I think they give him a qualifying offer. He doesn't take it. It hurts his free agency, unfortunately, and they get him on a 1 or 2 year deal that's reasonable. That's just my opinion. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
And then you're looking at Colin Ray. You're looking at Brandon Maurer, possibly. I'd love to see Brandon Maurer get back this season.
See, and I think he's going to get that opportunity. You know, that conversation will take place, probably already has, you know, this offseason to, you know, start.
Because he's got to change his his workout program to be a starter, right?
You start building some endurance up, not only in the arm, but in the brain, everywhere else. That endurance has to be, you know, in every facet. But I really think they'd like to groom him and you know, test the waters as a starter with him. I mean, if it doesn't work out.
You know you've got a great 7th, 8th inning, even 9th inning guy.
That's right.
There's no harm in putting him back in the bullpen. But if he is talented enough, he's much, much more valuable as a starter.
Yeah, because his makeup, you know, dictates he could be a really good starter. And then you say the same thing when Andrew Castro came over here to start. The makeup's there, but it's just execution of pitches and the consistency that you're not getting from Kastner.
Couple more guys, kind of back to the original conversation, that I really want to see something out of, Austin Hedges. I would love – I want to go to the box score every day and hopefully see a couple hits. I want to see his bat develop. I don't think there's any question about his defensive prowess.
No.
I think at this point we need to see – you know, if he comes onto the roster next year as your opening day catcher or backup catcher, you're never going to feel bad about what he brings defensively. But you don't want to stunt his growth offensively. So, you know, Kurt was of the opinion the other day that he needs to go back down and get 300 more minor league at-bats to get his bat where it needs to be. So this is, you know, he's a guy I'm looking at the rest of the season.
Yeah, he needs to go to Wonder Ball and get some more ABs if he could. I agree with that.
That sounds like that's happening.
Yes. And next year, I just don't know that it's a real question mark if, you know, he can be the everyday catcher. Not on the defensive side, there's no doubt about it.
Right.
Okay, but on the offensive side of the baseball. And Derek Norris showed a lot of improvement. And, you know, he's a tough guy. I like him in this lineup. I like him on the 25-man roster.
Yeah.
And that says a lot. I mean, I like our catching. I'm not uncomfortable with that.
Well, and that's the thing. That's an area of strength. So sometimes you have to deal from an area of strength if you're making trades.
Oh, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think every offseason is kind of interesting. But once again, after the flurry from last year, and then what we tried to do, and now to see you try to AJ how to, you know, fix it again, fine tune it again. It's going to have to be done.
Yeah, a couple other guys I just watched towards the end of the season. Love to see Travis Jankowski make a couple steps in his development. And Melvin Upton. I'd like to see him continue what he's been doing. An interesting stat, over his last 52 games, he's hitting .285, .340, .485. I mean, that's a decent sample size. Now, he hasn't started a lot lately, but he's still holding up those numbers.
He's looked a lot better at the plate, though. But he looks better at the plate. His approach, you know, the way he's swinging the bat. You know, I like, and it's a guy that he's under contract with us.
You got to make the best of it.
And make the best of it. But I really like, you know, what I've seen from him and the adjustments. I don't know if he's been working with Mark Kotze or Alonzo Powell, but I really think he's put a lot of work into his game, and it's kind of shown here the last few weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure that work has been there, but at the same time, I think more than anything, it's probably a mindset change for him. When things had gotten so negative for him in Atlanta.
Oh, I agree.
He needed a change of scenery and just a new jersey, a new crowd watching him, not booing him constantly. I think all those things matter.
I agree with you 100%.
Like,
yeah.
All right, I'm going to take you off the Cholula hot seat before it gets way too hot.
Well, we could go on and on. The hour's not long enough if you want to, you know. But overall, when you're looking at this in the last 2 weeks, I'm really looking at the younger talent and see what we've got and how they respond to the major league level. How do they adjust?
I mean,
you're like, I'm talking about bullpen guys and guys even get pinch hits or a couple of starts. Just see how they handle it and what they do.
Yep. All right, Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. One other guy, you know, he's going to get maybe two starts, Casey Kelly. I would love to see something really positive for him. We know he's got the stuff and the arm, just with the injury setbacks. He's a guy with the potential that you want to see live up to that potential. Because
you really do.
You know, unfortunately for him, there's a lot invested in him because of the way he came to the Padres.
Right.
When you trade a player like Adrian Gonzalez, and he's basically the key piece, he and Anthony Rizzo, you really want to see him succeed so that you feel that move was justified. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him.
I look forward to seeing him pitch.
Yeah. Glad he's going to get a couple starts.
I do too.
I'm happy about that.
I'm really happy with that.
All right, take a break. When we come back, talk a little more about yesterday's game and get ready for today's game as well. So as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We are live from the AMR studios. Not at, normally we're live in more places than
right.
we are right now. Apparently, Louisiana Tech and Kansas State have gone into triple overtime.
Triple overtime.
So we are not live on
the
Fox
score,
Sports San
the score's
Diego.
Score's not
right
zero
now.
To zero, is it?
I have no idea. I could not care less. Could care less more about Kansas State and Louisiana Tech.
Yeah,
I'm not a big college football guy.
No.
Are you?
No.
You a football guy at all?
A little bit. I mean, I always
you like the pro football.
I like to watch certain games here and there, but I'm not. You know, I'm not sitting there with pom poms on with my favorite team. I'm, you know,
Chapman University. They have a football team.
Chapman, yeah, they do, but it's, you know, it's NAIA, trip, you know, 3A.
Did you play any football as a kid?
Only in high school.
Yeah?
Yeah, my first 3 years of high school. And then my senior year, I...
Be a little running lefty quarterback or what?
Yeah.
Yeah?
A little quarterback, halfback, then defensive half, played both sides. That was fun. I liked it. But I just knew my senior year, hey, I wouldn't get a football scholarship. And I wouldn't get a basketball scholarship to go to college. So I just played baseball my senior year. All I did is baseball. Didn't play football, didn't play basketball. I was on the baseball field every day.
Yeah, probably for the better.
It was. It worked out real well for the left-hander.
That might have worked out for you
yes,
pretty well
did.
There. kind of teased it a little bit earlier. If you want to boil down the offensive problems with this team, it's that they don't have a high enough on-base percentage and they strike out too much. You can't have both. So right now they are sixth in Major League Baseball, third in the National League in strikeouts, but they're like 26th in on-base percentage.
Yeah.
When you look at the lineup, you've only got two guys that are above average in on-base percentage, and that's Justin Upton and Yonder Alonso. And we've talked about the issues with Yonder. He's a good hitter, gets on base, but the power numbers aren't there, so it kind of hurts you a little bit there. You've only got a couple guys that are average right now in Spangenberg, Solarte, and Myers. They're kind of right around that league average, and then everybody else is kind of below average, including Melvin Upton, Matt Kemp. So this team, no matter how you feel about the guys in the positions that you feel good about next year, they've got to find a way to get on base more.
I agree. Top of the lineup, you know, especially, and whoever you're going to have there, and when we have that, you know, I call it that floating number two spot in the lineup.
Yes,
you know, we float guys in and out of there,
set.
You know, no consistency. And is Myers, and once you lose Upton, does that change the dynamics of this? You know, if you know, when Justin Upton leaves, does that move, you know, Will Myers down in the lineup? Or maybe a Spangenberg? I don't know if Jankowski is going to get an opportunity. Get a little more speed at the top of the lineup, you know, and Melvin Upton as well. Get him up there. Now, he's shown signs, you know, and maybe strikes out too much, but I think it's a work in progress with him. I mean, you got to try him up there.
Yeah,
got great speed.
Jankowski gives you a little bit of hope because he's so fast and he likes to put the ball in play.
Yes.
And we've seen good things happen with him, whether he gets on base via an error, which is, you know, it doesn't help your on base percentage, but it works just as well. Or if, you know, he's able to beat out some of these ground balls. So, but guys like Spangenberg and guys like Derek Norris, they've got to find a way to start getting on base more. I mean, the hits are there for the most part, but they've either got to walk more or the average has to come up.
Has to come way up, and you just got to get on base. And once again, I know what you're talking about, on base percentage. You got to get, you know, but I just said, you know, I'd love to see overall how we're doing, how we rank with runners in scoring position.
And it's pretty amazing when you look at how low some of these on base percentages are. And Matt Kemp getting close to 100 RBI, and really his – and this is something I probably should have looked up beforehand, but I didn't. Like, he must be driving runners in, have a very high runners in scoring position average.
Well, he has to. If you got 97 RBIs, you know, you're doing something right over the course of the year. But, you know, I think that's the real key. I think it's pretty funny with when you have Myers in the leadoff spot and how many RBI opportunities he has,
mm-hmm.
you know, what he really does. I can't believe how many times he'll come up and there'll be a couple of guys on, which is ideal. And he loves that scenario. But for a leadoff guy, it seems like he's had a lot of, you know, for the small sample size we've seen of Myers, you know, he's done a pretty good job doing that. So I see him more of a middle-of-the-lineup type guy.
Yeah, and the other side of this is if you're going to strike out as much as this team does, there's got to be more power to the team.
I agree.
I mean, if you're under the assumption or the theory that you shouldn't change your approach in how you take at bats, no matter what the count is. You're going to swing hard. You're going for extra base hits. You have to come through with those extra base hits. You can't strike out as much and not put the ball in play.
You know,
I mean, there's got to be some give and take.
We had a lot of question marks this year. I mean, Middlebrook, you know, here playing third base, and Solarte moving over there. And, you know, a lot of moves, in that situation. Now, Alves and Jerko's at shortstop. You know, what I'm looking for next year is coming out of spring training with some consistency. A lineup, I want to look out on the field and see the same guys in certain spots. You know that Upton, a lot of times, some right-handers maybe not. You know, you have somebody else in center field, but he's going to be your center fielder. Kemp's going to be in right. Got to make a decision on left. You know, you're going to have somebody out there on a consistent basis. Who's your first baseman? You know, is it Spangenberg, Jerko, Solarte right now? That's what you've got. You know, but just moving everybody around all the time. You know, I want to see some consistency. And the players need that consistency to, you know, create a routine and get some things going.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. With that being said, I want to welcome our Fox Sports San Diego viewers in. We're finally live on Fox Sports San Diego.
Amazing.
They were with the Louisiana Tech Kansas State game. Sorry to pull you guys away from that game. Hopefully it was a fantastic finish. I'm sure all of San Diego was really invested in that game, but thanks for joining us here on Padres Social Hour. As always, use the hashtag PadresSH if you want to get your tweets, your comments, your questions on the show. We've also got the live chat, padres.com/social hour, talking a lot about last night's loss, being out of the play, what we're looking for going into next season as well. Don't know if we can talk enough about Will Myers, what he's been doing the last few games. Taking the ball the other way, just looks so comfortable at the plate. And he's somebody that I feel pretty good about being a high average guy with that short stroke and the power that he's got. I feel like if he can stay healthy, which it looks like hopefully they fixed some of these chronic issues that he's been dealing with, can be either, you know, whether it is in the leadoff spot or in the middle of the lineup next year, kind of that guy that really makes this offense
go. You know what's great? And then, you know, and basically, is he going to be your left fielder? You're going to put him out in left field, leave him there. You know, I don't have a problem with that either. You know, give him a spot, you know, not moving him back and forth first base. And, you know, which I mean, a little bit of that, okay. You know, depending on who's pitching that night, I get it. You know, give some options to the manager. But I think overall he's done a really good job. And if he's, you know, as long as he's still healthy at the end of the season, feeling good about how he feels, that's what I want to, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
I'm fired up about wherever he is.
Well, I agree with you about guys getting a position and sticking there. I think he's the one guy that it doesn't really affect that much.
Well, it doesn't.
He just loves to move around. Like, if you watch him before the game, and I know you do.
Yeah, I do.
He'll take balls at ground at shortstop.
Oh, no.
He just wants to play baseball.
Yeah, until Barmer says to run him out, you know, get out of
and
here.
And they do. They've got to run him out. He's out at second base taking ground balls.
Go out in left field where you belong.
I love it. He's just like a little kid out there.
Yeah.
He just loves it. So
that's good. He loves the game.
Yep. All right, going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over tonight's lineup. And Robbie Erlin, another little left-hander, finally taking the mound for the Padres a little later tonight. Don't miss your chance to see the Lego Movie on the video board from the field at Petco Park. Movie on the Field night is September 27th, following the Padres game against the D-backs at 1:10 p.m. Tickets are only available at padres.com/movie, and you have to have this special ticket to go on the field and watch the movie, so make sure you go there. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after this. Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United from the AMR Studios. It's just been a fun day here. Fox Sports San Diego coming to us late. Blooper having some computer issues, so that's why you get my horrible, not even singing voice. I don't even know what you would call that. But we are back. Blooper, are you okay to put up the lineup? Does that work for you? Going to go over the lineup tonight, presented by United Airlines. As always, United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. And no surprises here, I'd say.
Nope.
Myers at first, Solarte, Kemp, Upton, Jerko. Jerko at short again, Norris, Upton Jr., Corey Spangenberg.
Well, with Flonde pitching.
Johan Flonde, left-hander. So you want to get all the right-handed bats in there. So Melvin gets the start in center field. Spangenberg looks like the lone lefty there. Robbie Erlin, the lefty for the Padres. Have you had a chance to talk to Robbie since he's been back? I know it's been on the road, so
no.
I'm guessing not. But
I haven't talked to the left-hander. I know I heard the interview the other day, though. I think Mark Grant interviewed him and talking about maybe using a little bit more of a cutter. you know.
Really?
And I thought, well, that's interesting. And, you know, I like the idea of him using that cutter. I think we've really seen a little bit of Tyson Ross, how that cutter has helped him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you, a cutter, theoretically, just a little mini slider. Has, a, you know, a little bit of movement. And it's such a contrast from the two-seamer that Cashner likes to throw. Tyson Ross likes to throw that two-seamer. They have good movement on it. You know, but if you start that two-seamer in on a lefty or away from a right here on the outside part of the plate, it's going to tail back over the middle. So you really got to be careful with it. And I think when you all of a sudden you come up with that little cutter, that four-seamer that will start in on a left-hander and stays there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to tail back over the plate. And then also he's got to distinct that at 93, 94 to a slider, to Tyson Ross's slider. So I think it gives him a real advantage, and it's all about location. The same thing with Robbie Erlin and trying to, you know, throw a slider into a right hander, or you're throwing a cut fastball in on his hands. You know, one's, you know, theoretically 7 or 8 miles an hour harder, that cut fastball is. So it can really be an advantageous pitch if you set it up correctly. And that's what you have to do with it.
Going to be interesting to see a pretty rough year for Robbie in AAA. And I mean, we know the PCL and El Paso. I mean, you can't even really judge those numbers for pitchers or hitters for that matter. But
you
pitchers
know,
really struggle there. So
the only thing I like to be said, he was healthy. He felt good. So there you go.
You feel good about that.
You got to feel good about that. And even, you know, down the road we see Casey Kelly, is going to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe the numbers weren't that pretty, but this is the big leagues. This is different adrenaline. This is what it's all about.
How important do you think these starts are for Robbie going forward? I mean, is this kind of his last audition with the Padres? Do you think he's got another shot if things don't go great? I mean, you know, they're going to need some 40-man spots, and he's going to kind of be on that bubble, I think.
Well, he could be on that bubble. He's got to show he's healthy and that he, you know, and hopefully he'll show that he has the command.
He's not a hard-throwing lefty. He's got to be pinpoint, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and you know, that's the whole key. That's why I like the idea of, you know, getting something else, you know, something else that's moving. And let's see how that adapts into his repertoire, how he goes after these major league hitters.
Nice.
And just, you know, watch and see what happens. But I think it's a couple, you know, if he gets two or three starts, they're important starts.
All right. Well, we're going to test to your love for small left-handers here in the Supercuts Head-to-Head Challenge. Blooper won yesterday. He had Will Myers, who homered.
Yep.
And the couch and Blooper are tied.
Right.
I mean, this is just going to absolutely come down to the last day of the season, I think. And please don't ruin this. Please don't ruin
it.
This.
I like it.
So who's first today, Blue? Randy Jones, you have the first pick. Who do you want to take?
I'm taking Matt Kemp.
Bold move.
You know.
But, hey,
he had, coming off
one bad game here and picking it back up.
Hadn't been swinging the bat that well, but he hits Flandre pretty good. He knows him. And so I'm anticipating that Matt Kemp making an impact in the lineup tonight.
Okay. Blooper, who you got?
Going with the guy I picked last night. Sticking with Will Myers.
Will Myers. All right. So nice.
Nice.
Lineup guys, nobody's taking the pitcher. A couple sluggers here. So this should be fun to watch.
Take the pitcher. You got to earn that. Robbie hadn't earned that yet, man. You gave me, you know.
Especially
sorry.
At Coors Field. I'm not picking a pitcher at Coors Field.
Well, yeah. It didn't bother Kurt yesterday.
Yeah,
I think Ben talked him into that one,
Kurt,
by the way.
Yeah, Kurt shouldn't have done that.
No. Supercuts. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Always kind of nice when you've got a couple guys hot in the lineup so that you can you know, have somebody to choose from. That wasn't always the case earlier this year. When Justin Upton was the only guy in the lineup hitting, it was kind of a race to
get real. There's not a lot of guys hot in the lineup right now.
Guys hitting. Jerko's been hitting. Melvin's been hitting. You got some options there.
Two singles shouldn't win this playoff between Blooper and myself, okay?
I agree.
Right, Bloop? It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
I agree.
Myers will have some home runs, and it'll be okay.
No, Kemp's going to have 5 RBI.
Nice. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to show you some of Joe Maddon's comments about the Cardinals from yesterday.
I like it.
They're a lot of fun, so we want to get to that next. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy 2 select tires and get 2 free. With quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations, why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy 2, get 2.
Can we talk about Weaver also the other night when he got kicked out of the game?
We can talk about anything you want when we come back right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
And we're back here at the AMR studios. Randy Jones, Mike Grace.
I should have brought RJ today.
Yeah,
I thought about it.
You should have. Such a good dog.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. Yeah. So a lot going on around baseball right now, and the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Pirates, for that matter. It's a great race going on in the National League. But the Cardinals and Cubs playing right now. And Joe Maddon, I mean –
Come on, man. I want to hear it.
He's one of the best. And so just to set it up real quick, Dan Heron clearly accidentally hits Matt Holliday, who had just come off the disabled list, in the back of the helmet. I don't see how you could see any intent there. The Cardinals come back the Cardinal way, firing at guys, hitting guys. And Joe Maddon had just had enough, and he addressed it with the media. And pretty entertaining stuff. This is what he had to say.
I'm really disappointed in what the Cardinals did right there. Absolutely. We did not hit their guy on purpose at all. That was an absolute mistake. There's no malicious intent whatsoever on Dan Heron's part. None. So to become this vigilante group that all of a sudden wants to get their own pound of flesh, that's absolutely insane and ridiculous and wrong. I mean, and furthermore, we don't start stuff, but we will stop stuff. We will end stuff. So that's their call. That was their moment right there. And furthermore, in the ninth inning, they were playing behind us when we were leading by 5 runs. The next time they do it, we're going to run. I want everybody to know that. I never read that particular book that the Cardinals wrote way back in the day. I was a big Branch Rickey fan, but I never wrote this book that the Cardinals have written regarding how to play baseball. So if you play behind us, we're up by 5 points in the ninth, we're running, and you have every right to do the same thing. Why? Because if we score more runs there, you could easily keep Rondon from having to warm up. Easily. But the fact that we don't score more runs there, you have to get Rondon up when they get two guys on potentially. So there's all these different forces of nature at work right there. And furthermore, that particular book that you guys got was written right around the turn of the last century, not the previous, like 1900, when it took, several singles to score a run as opposed to one big guy coming up and hitting a home run. So all that has changed. You could take that book and you could read it yourself, because I don't give a crap about that book. So I want everybody there to understand that we don't start stuff, but we will stop stuff.
So there you go, Joe Maddon. He's had enough of the Cardinal way. I love the way he put it too. He makes me laugh. He's entertaining.
Love it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, we won't start stuff. We'll stop stuff.
See, he says they're going to finish whatever it is.
I don't know how you finish.
But there's all kinds of good stuff going on in baseball. Yeah. You were talking about the Jared Weaver situation the other day.
Oh, that was great. I mean, that's just good old school. They got in a yelling match for whatever reason. I was just watching the highlights doing post-game radio, and next thing you know, they're yelling at each other. The umpire kind of settles it down, and Seager's a left-handed hitter, and Weaver being left-hander, and he got back up on the mound. He got in the box, and he drilled him in the ribs, and I just thought I'd die laughing. You know, and no big deal, just standing there, and Seager looked at him and goes, well, how do you like them apples, you know? You know, then he gets run out of the game, of course, and then it shows Nelson Cruz back behind in the on-deck circle giving the stink eye to, you know, Weaver. And he's like, what are you looking at? You know, I'll drill you too if I stay in. You know, that's just good old-school baseball. And it was a clean, you know, if you're going to hit somebody, hit them. And he did. He wasn't trying to maim anybody. It was a professional. If you're going to hit somebody, hit them. And he did. They're right in the rib cage. You can't get out of the way. You can't move the ribs. So, I mean, it was just a big league move, and I just cracked up. I mean, would have been great, though, if the umpire would have just warned Weaver and left him in the game. That would have been classic.
Nice.
Everybody would have gone bonkers.
Yeah, no, I don't think that broke any unwritten rules. But,
well, really I mean, stuff. Even that. I mean, you're Dan Heron, and, you know, hits him in the back of the head. Seriously?
He didn't mean to, but.
Oh, yeah. Didn't mean to, but he hit him in the back of the head?
Yeah.
You mean Dan Heron around here for 11 years, and he's that bad?
Unwritten rules. I mean,
yeah, unwritten rules. I don't blame St. Louis.
There you go.
Heck with them.
All right, join the many characters here as they invade Petco Park on Saturday, September 26th for Star Wars Day. Come to the game dressed in your best Star Wars costume. Purchase a special ticket package and get a custom themed T-shirt. Only available for the first 2,000 fans with a Star Wars Day ticket. Get tickets at Padres.com/StarWars. Finishing up the show right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Getting close here to Rockies Padres, just a little later here.
Pair of left-handers.
Pair of left-handers.
On the mound.
Little left-hander out there for
Haven't
the Padres.
Haven't seen this all year, folks. Enjoy it. Yeah, left-handed starter.
The first left-handed starter of the year for the Padres. I got a tweet here from our friends over at Gaslamp Ball. Will Randy Jones throw his cap in the ring for Padres manager this
Not a chance, season? Man. Not a chance. I never apply for a job where you can get fired. I don't want to get fired.
You could get fired from this
managers
job.
Get fired, you know. You know, I can't, but, you know, at least what I'm doing right now, I can kind of control my own destiny.
Radio guys can get fired. TV guys can get fired.
You just got to be careful what you say.
Don't say anything stupid, right?
That's right.
Hey, we survived so far.
Thank
you,
Randy.
Good call,
man.
Thanks for not saying anything dumb today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I tried not to. We'll be back tomorrow at 11:30. Bill Center and myself. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody.